You should be able to hear this.
Log Talk Radio.
Yeah.
Like this. Yeah, this one.
Here we go.
This is all about wine.
You can hear that?
Yes.
Oh, you can't hear it. Okay, I wasn't sure. Okay, yes. Here we go. Places, everybody, and roll it.
The talk show dedicated to the wine industry since 2009, featuring winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is just trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
From coast to coast and around,
the world.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that.
Post your questions and comments during the live show on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebcr. Again, that's www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebcr. And now, All About Wine is on. Here's Ron.
Let's hear it. Give it up, as they say now and all the time. They don't say, you know, clamp or anything. They always say, give it up. Yeah. Drives me nuts.
You want me to, maybe I can, you don't want me to add that to it. Okay, let me check.
No, I don't want you to add give it up. Yeah.
String to start show. Let's see if that works. Oh, no, of course. Error occurred still. So I put the custom, are we on? Oh, we're on.
We're on. Is this on? Yes.
Yeah, it's on. We are on. That doesn't make any sense. We are on Blog Talk Radio as of now. I'm still working on the other two, so give me a.
Right.
I don't understand why.
Your thing. It is 7:00 Eastern. Well, actually 7:02. Why is my Fitbit watch 2 minutes behind the computer? That's odd. Okay, we are live, 7:02 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on December the 8th, 2022. So if you're listening to this now, welcome. If you're listening to this in archives, welcome. Mike is busy trying to get us connected with Facebook and Spotify and everything else that he does, and for some reason
Spotify. Wow, that's a new one. I should try that.
So we are trying to get that all hooked while he's doing that. Let's see, is there anything new and exciting out there in the wine world? Yeah, there is. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers pulled out a thriller with Tom Brady last Monday night. If anybody happened to see that, they were behind 16-3 with like 4 minutes left, and they won it 17-16. Twice in his career, he has came back from a deficit of 13 or more points, and that was one, and the other one was the Super Bowl, where they came back and beat Atlanta, the New England Patriots. So, but they won, and let's see, what else? Oh, World Cup. Yeah, we got to mention the World Cup also. The United States lost in a thrilling battle. If you call soccer thrilling, I am not a soccer fan, so I do not call soccer thrilling. But for those of you who are soccer fans, the United States lost to the Netherlands in a thrilling battle, 3-1. And they're out of it for this one. Oh, I'm echoing. Okay,
you're echoing?
I did that time there. I thought maybe you hit something and caused me to echo, but it's stopped now. I'm not hearing it. But United States, because if you're a host, you automatically get into the World Cup tournament, and we're going to host it, I think, in 20. What was that?
We got the stream going. Sorry about that. I didn't realize that out loud. If you're just joining us on Twitter, Facebook, what's the other one? And YouTube. What's it? What Mixcloud? I'm sorry about that. It was just I finally got stuff.
There was an announcement.
So we're back.
You did it.
We
Dang.
Are streaming.
All right.
Yes.
So, all of you, sorry about the little delay there. We had some technical problems, which when you're live, you expect that. And we had another one.
Yes.
But
there we go.
World Cup, we are hosting the World Cup in, 24, 25, 26, something like that. I don't know how often they hold it. It's an odd thing here. I mean, it's not like every 4 years or every 3 years. It's just odd how they do the World Cup. But the United States is hosting it, and when they do that, they get an automatic bid into it, so they get to play again. And all those who are in the know say the United States is really improving in soccer. So, hey, good for them. I'm not a soccer fan. I did read something that was hilarious. It said, I'm not a soccer fan. If I want to watch a bunch of men running around a field and not scoring, I'll just watch the Denver Broncos. And I thought that was really funny. But I just thought you can substitute. Yeah, really. Substitute any of your teams in there. But, we got some surprises in it and all that. I don't know. I think Brazil and Argentina are still in it. There are strong ones that always tend to do well. And I don't know who else. I don't pay much attention to the World Cup. I haven't watched any of it except highlights just when somebody scores. So, okay. Let's see what else we got going on here. Went to a festival, a Tampa Cigar Festival last Sunday, which was really, really a lot of fun. I met, if you remember the program we did with the guys from Cigar, Mike Cap, Phil, I think, was part of it, and so was Craig. They all did the Cigar Show, and you can go back in the archives and check that out. I met Craig at Tampa Cigar Festival, and it was really, really a lot of fun. Craig does a blog, Cigar Craig, and if you are anywhere as interested in cigars, he does a great blog on Cigar Craig, plus the other guys too, Kaplowitz and Mike Weinstein. He does reviews on cigars attached to Cap's page and stuff like that. So these guys are very big into it. But Sunday we went to it and I met up with Craig, first time face to face, and we walked around and he introduced me to a lot of people in the cigar industry and all that, and introduced me to one guy who was really into wine before he got into cigars. So we had a very good conversation about wine and some of the wines that he used to do, and when he started getting to cigars, the pairings of wine and cigars that he used to do and all. And now he just basically cigars. He's not as much into wine, but he was California and a lot of Napa and Sonoma. He said that he does recommend if anybody's going to California to avoid Napa because it is became so, what was his word? I can't think of his word, which described it quite well. I'll think of it. But he said the Napa's came to the point where it's expensive. It's a tourist area, and the wineries are nice, but it gets so crowded. And if you're going there, don't even attempt to try it on the weekends. Try to keep it in the middle of the week. And some of the wineries aren't open on Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. And so you got to be sure you know what days you're going to be showing up. And the cost, the tastings now are not free in Napa. Everybody charges, and it could be anywhere from $20 up to $150 and even more. Some wineries have what they call flights. You can get yourself a certain tasting, say like 3 whites in a flight or 3 reds or however they do it. I don't know. It's But you need reservations most of the time. If you can, call ahead and make reservations. It's best. Or you can drive through Napa and look at all the wineries and look at all the vineyards and then cross over the mountain to Sonoma. And that's really a good way to do it, too. Visit the wineries in Sonoma. Or if you really feel like riding up. And it is a beautiful trip on up to Mendocino County. And check out the wineries there and see what all they have to offer. And you're starting to get in the redwood country and see some of the big trees and stuff. So I'm not promoting California particularly, but Napa is Napa. So if you ever get an opportunity, do visit it at least once in your life. I've always told people, you have to visit Napa at least once. It doesn't mean that you have to stay there or anything, but at least you can say, I've been to Napa. And people used to come in the winery and go, I've been to Napa. And I said, good for you. I said, have you ever been to Sonoma? No. Have you ever been to Paso Robles? No. Have you ever been to Livermore? No. But I've been to Napa. Oh, okay, good. It's just like Disney World. You got to go to Disney World at least once. But once you've been there, you've been. And so it's not something you go to.
Where was the Cigar Festival held? Was that in Ybor or someplace else?
Yeah, it was in Ybor.
Good.
They blocked off a couple, three blocks there and right next to the trolley station.
Yeah. That's 7th Street or 7th Avenue. It's that main drag where you just go basically bar to club to bar to club or whatever. It's an amazing place. And
Was it 8th Street they blocked off or 7th Street where they do all the stuff.
That's where the parade is too, Gasparilla and all.
Yeah. 9th Street, I think, is what they blocked off completely. Is that everything?
Wow.
They blocked off 9th Street and it was like for a 2-block area. There's a little park right there. They had a band at the park, multi-genre band, and they did all sorts of stuff, and they had all sorts of cigar company representatives and stuff, and they had food trucks, and they had a t-shirt which is really cool, which Craig bought one. He also bought a tea towel for his wife, same thing. It had a picture of a rooster on it smoking a cigar, which is really, really sort of cool. And for those of you out there in the listening world, Ybor City, and it's spelled Y-B-O-R, is pronounced Ybor. Ybor City used to be the cigar capital of the United States back at the turn of the century. It was extremely busy for cigars. They had, at one time, over 1,000 different little cigar factories there in Ybor, in the area. And they used to make cigars for the whole world, hand-rolled and all that. And that was where everybody would sit around and roll cigars. And then at the front or the middle or wherever they happened to sit, up on a higher perch chair, there would be a guy sitting there reading the newspaper or a book or whatever, because they didn't have radios. And so to entertain them, he would read the newspaper to them and then a novel or something like that. And that was part of one of the jobs as a in these different factories, cigar factories. Now, J.C. Newman is restoring one of the buildings. Really nice, too. He's put a lot of effort into it and put some money into it, and he's restoring it to its former glory. They do roll cigars there now. And I found out, which I didn't know until Craig told me, because he went on a tour to see it, but up by Claremont, which is located, what, Mike? 100
oh, God.
Miles.
It's up 27...
how far from
north
Tampa
of
would you say?
Oh, it's not 100, maybe 50, 60 miles, possibly 70. Yeah, it's up by
it's just
State
about
Route 50
even
and
with
US 27.
Yeah.
Yeah, just, yeah. West of Orlando, off of State Road 50 quite a bit.
Yeah, and between yeah. Between the I-75 and Orlando, just about in the middle there. Yeah. But there's a 10-acre tobacco growing farm there. And I never knew that there was tobacco being grown in Florida. And
yeah.
So they have there's a 10-acre tobacco farm there. They do two crops a year because they are able to because of the weather in Florida. So they're able to do two crops a year. It doesn't freeze. I guess freeze has an effect that they can't grow or something. I don't know. I'm not that familiar with tobacco. But there's actually a tobacco farm in Florida. So I thought that was interesting. Oh. And they said that they have trouble getting labor because picking and doing it is intense. It's hard work, and it's also somewhat of a skill to pick the right leaves at the right time and all that. So, but interesting. The whole thing was an interesting day. Really was a lot of fun. I thank Craig even again because I realized that if I went there by myself and I didn't meet up Craig, if I'd went there by myself, I would have just wandered around, looked at the different cigars and different booths, and
it's kind of like visiting a winery or visiting a vineyard, and just, you know, oh wow, this is good. Oh, okay, this is, you know, this is interesting. You're browsing, but when you have someone guide you through it, like he did, I mean, that's like a personal tour guide or somebody who has a, you know, that kind of knowledge. That's incredible. What a great
it was.
Yeah, that was fantastic. Yeah, makes a total difference.
He introduced me to a whole bunch of people in the cigar industry, and he said,
"This
is Ron. He's part of our group, and he also has himself a wine show on Thursday evening." So he, you know, everybody introduced, you know, always said something about the wine show. So it was fantastic. Yeah. Like you say, you know, it was really special since he was there to show me around to stuff
always,
and all that.
Meet up with the locals, you know, when you're visiting a place, if you can meet up with a local who knows the places and the history, and you learn something totally different than going and just, you know, being a sidewalk tourist or something. I don't know how else to say it. Yeah,
but,
totally.
Yeah, we understand what you mean by that. Yeah. 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 You're absolutely right.
And I remember you were talking about the history, and I used to do history tours on a charter bus through Ybor City. So I had to learn about Don Vicente Martinez de Ybor, the founder.
Yes.
How he came up to America and all this, and you know, got his crews together and the tunnels that went out to the water down
right.
there, so they can pull the tobacco off the boats and there was the history there and the building, the architecture that some are still standing is just incredible. I mean, it's very historic down there. Quick shout out if I may.
Yeah.
Adrian says hello, and she said the Hunt kids are listening. So.
Well.
Welcome to the show, and thank you for tuning in.
Really. We have to say, say welcome to the show. Yeah.
I didn't. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Thank you.
No, we, but the Ybor is just another thing about Ybor that's really cool is the fact that they have chickens wandering all over, chickens and roosters, and it just seems like there's more roosters than hens, but there's chickens everywhere. And they were started a long time ago, and it has been a very contentious existence for them there because they try to get rid of them, and then the people screamed and complained that it was part of the heritage. And the city said, yes, but they are messing all over the place. And then people screamed. Now they are protected. You can't mess with them. You can't harm them. They are protected. Yes. There's
little
signs. It's
part of the heritage.
It's part of the
heritage. It's dinner. It's supper. It's dinner.
Yeah, it's
chicken nuggets.
Birds.
It's
yeah. Yeah, there you go.
That's what it is.
That's what it is.
Last year there were 200. This year there's 180 after last year. Yeah, their numbers are dwindling. Protect them.
Yeah.
Don't do anything. That's their dinner. Yeah,
they're,
I know what they're
protected
saying.
Now. You can't harm them. You can't mess with them. And they are everywhere
wow.
now down there. And we.
I've never
realized. Yeah, the cigar show. We're walking around and there's chickens right amongst all the people. I mean, they're all wandering around there and everything, and they're right there among the people
wow.
and all that. And in fact, Craig thought it was really funny. He turned around and here on top of a tent there was a chicken sitting on top of a tent, and he took a picture of it. He must have taken like 20 pictures of chickens and roosters. There seems to be more roosters than hens, but yeah, it's they're protected now. You can't do anything
wow.
to them. It's they're all over the place. I guess if the hunt kids are listening, I can put a shout out to them. Holly and Tyler and Charlotte, thank you for listening. And
I didn't know these people. I don't know where those people are. They're not in my room.
They are located north of Atlanta.
Oh,
and
I was talking about the audience, but really?
No, the audience,
wow.
Well, yeah, they're north of Atlanta, in a little town called Dacula. So,
I know Dacula. Yeah.
You know Dacula?
Okay. I've been to Dacula. I've been to Woodstock. I've been to Royston. That's northeast. Royston, Livonia. Yeah, been all over that.
Why
the first
are you
time
so
I went up there, I was
with
somebody. Because, well, first off, I used to live in Athens. I lived in some little podunk town close to that. Yeah, I've been up there, and I used to go to Georgia all the time, and that part of it. So, Blue Ridge, Georgia. I went skiing there. Their imitation snow. Well, actually, it was real snow. It was in Blue Ridge, Georgia. Rented a cabin and went snow skiing. Actual snow.
It was
you never think, but it was a great time. Yeah. Kennesaw, Woodstock. What else is there?
Well, Kennesaw, that's familiar.
Yeah. 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 Kennesaw. Yeah. There's all kinds of places out there. Yeah.
All over. Yeah. Really.
Welcome to the show.
My engineer just brought me in a wine for this evening. It is Noble Vines Collection. Yes, pop the cork on this. It is, let me read you the label here. It says, the legacy of the world's noblest vines is written in numbers. These numbers identify superior wine stocks that produce exceptional wines. And this is a 337, whatever that means. California Cabernet Sauvignon, 2017 vintage. And the back of it says, 337 Cabernet Sauvignon, Noble Vines. Behind these red numbers is a noble legacy. Cabernet Sauvignon 337 vine stock originated at the great chateaus of Bordeaux, France. Esteemed by nobility for centuries, certain superior vine stocks have proved their exceptional quality over time. Noble Vines takes the best of these vine stocks, identified today by number, and cultivates them in California. With its rich, full-bodied cherry and blackberry notes and suave tannins. Suave tannins? I never considered tannins to be suave, but I suppose. Noble Vines Cabernet Sauvignon 337 displays the traits that have earned this stock its noble reputation. Pair with ribeye steak, roast, chops, or sliders. Noblevines.com, NobleVines.com, Noblevines.com. And it has a little sticker on here, and this is why I bought it. It is sustainably grown. So that is, what does that say? Family sustainably. You know, family sustainability quality on that sticker. 14.5 alcohol, vented and bottled by Noble Vines, Manteca, California. So, there you go. Let me do a sip of this and give you a quick report on what I think of it. Oh my gosh, it's got a great Cabernet aroma. Cabernet is so unique in its aroma, and it just jumps out at you. A bit lighter than I expected. No. Aroma. Classic Cabernet aroma. A little bit suppressed, I think. Maybe the wine needs to open up a little bit. We'll do that while I'm talking here. During the show, we'll see what happens. But I'm getting a little bit of raspberry in this. Not a lot. Some blueberry. Suave tannins might be a good description. It's not overpowering. You can detect the tannins in it, but it's not an overpowering tannin taste. It's there, but I think a nice balance. I wouldn't want to age the tannins out too much on this because I've always liked tannins and I don't want to age it out. For those of you who are into the legs in the wine, it doesn't have a whole lot of legs for some reason. At 14.5% alcohol, you would think that it would have a little bit more, not a lot of tannin in it either, so that's not... Overall, very pleasant wine. I hope we didn't pay too much for it. I don't have a price on it. I really should start sticking the prices on these if I'm going to pass this on to you. But a very pleasant wine. A little bit lighter, I would say, than what you would expect in a cab. It's lighter in the color. It's a nice garnet color, though. I mean, it's very, very nice, but it's not real dark. And it's got that classic Cabernet aroma, which I like. I mean, you know, the little blackberry, blueberry, raspberry that you get in the nose is a plus, but just the basic Cabernet aroma is always exciting to me. And then the flavor, like I say, is good. The finish, the aftertaste, again, a little subdued, not coming out a lot. I'm trying to see if I I don't want to say disappointing in the aftertaste, but I would hope that it would be a little bit stronger in the aftertaste, and it's not. So, but pleasant wine. Noble Vines Collection, 337 Cabernet. And so I will continue to enjoy this during the show. I also will let it sit here for a little bit, let it air out a little bit more. We didn't put a aerator on the pour spout. A lot of times my engineer does, but she didn't do it this time, which tends to add a little bit of air to it, open it up a little bit more. So there we go. Okay, so we've talked about all sorts of stuff here for the first half hour and nothing about wine. Corkhounds. Corkhounds is a nationwide search engine that helps dog owners find dog-friendly vineyards, wineries, meaderies, and breweries. So if you are a dog owner and you're listening to the show, so you must be a wine person, go to corkhounds.com, www.corkhounds.com. CorkHounds.com, CorkHounds.com. And you can find where there is friendly, dog-friendly wineries, meaderies, breweries, and vineyards. And we were always pet-friendly at Florida State's Winery. In fact, I lost a customer because we were pet friendly. I had a lady in there one day, and she was tasting, and that was her second or third trip. And a person came in, poked her head in the door, and said, "You pet friendly?" And I said, "Yes, we are, as long as they're leashed." And so they said, "Good." And they brought their dog in. And the dog just sat on the floor right next to him. He didn't bark. He didn't do anything. He was a good dog, a good boy. And she bought her stuff and emailed me and said, "Since you allowing pets in the winery, I will never come back." And I wrote her back and apologized and said, "We've always allowed pets in there." And I said, "I really am sorry that you have that attitude." I don't think I wrote attitude, though, because I didn't want to do anything to upset people. But go to CorkHound and Hounds with an S, and see if the wine you're going to visit is pet-friendly, and you can take your dog to it, or even ask if they're pet-friendly for anything else. We've had some strange animals that people brought into the winery. We had a lady that brought in a skunk. In fact, the skunks are pretty cool, because whenever we did our festivals, there was always the Pasco County Skunk Rescue always showed up to the animal fundraiser that we did once a year. They always came out. But really cool little animals. Some states do not allow you to own skunks. Florida is one of them that lets you own a skunk. But a lot of states don't. It's against the law. And I don't remember how the law is broken down now. I'm trying to remember something that I used to do, over 6 years ago, 7 years ago. But the law states you can own one type of skunk, but you can't own another type. There's a couple, three different types of skunk. They're all not the same. So it's just like turkeys. There's different types of turkeys, wild turkeys. Same thing with skunks. So lady came in with a skunk, a couple of people came in with snakes, and these aren't during festivals or anything, but these, people come in with snakes, and people would come in with their teacup dogs quite a bit, actually, because it was really popular back when the winery was open. They still are, but doesn't seem as much, but we were always pet-friendly. One lady did come in one day with a dog, and I walked past them about 3 feet from them, and this dog went ballistic, snapped at me and barked and growled and all that. I went, "Oh my God," it scared me. It really scared me. And I jumped back and I said, "Geez," I said, "what's wrong?" And she goes, "Oh, it always acts this way. I just wanted to see how it would act out in public." I said, "Well, obviously not well. Would you please, take it back to your car or something? I don't want you to, don't want to bite somebody." But she brought this dog in that she knew was not friendly, basically, and wanted to see how it would act. Well, geez. So, CorkHounds.com. Check it out if you want to follow up on that. I haven't talked at all about the holiday, the grape holidays that have been going on this month. December the 1st was Maranthitico Day, which is a grape. It's a Greek grape. That was a designated day on the 1st, which it's a good thing I didn't tell you because we don't know how to pronounce it anyway. But this last Sunday was Cabernet Franc Day. And there are actually festivals around the country for Cabernet Franc Day. So we missed it. Sorry about that. But coming up on Saturday, the 10th, is World Azu Day. That is from the Tokay region. And it's a sweet wine. So go to your local wine shop and pick up a bottle of Azu or Tokay and celebrate it this coming Saturday. And in case I happen to forget it, over the next couple of weeks, we have on the 20th Sangria Day. And so you've got all sorts of different ways to make sangria. I had a person tell me that they were in Spain. I can't remember the name of the town, but it's supposed to be the original town where sangria was made. And they said that you'd go down the street and you'd see a bar and there'd be a sign hanging outside, the original sangria. And you'd go two doors down, there'd be another bar and there'd be another sign, the original sangria. And they said you'd walk all over town and you'd see these signs sticking out every bar, the original sangria. So, and they said that they tried, you know, four or five of them and they all tasted different. So, you know, what is original, what isn't, who knows? I don't know. But Sangria Day coming up on the 20th, this Saturday, World Azu, that's A-S-Z-U, Azu Day. And today's the 8th, which is National Brownie Day. So have yourself a Cabernet Sauvignon with a nice chocolatey brownie, and it's a great combination. National Lager Day is coming up Saturday, so if you want to put down the beer and have yourself a lager, then you can do that Saturday. Gingerbread Decorating and Eating Day is coming up on the 12th, which is Monday. And Tuesday is National Cocoa Day, also National Cream Cheese Frosting Day. Huh? Cream Cheese Frosting Day. I don't know. And let's see, what else? There's International Tea Day and Lemon Cupcake Day is the 15th, a week from today. So that's what we got over the next week. There's other stuff, too, which is not wine day. National Alabama Day is the 14th, and World Coral Day, C-H-O-R-A-L, of course, you know, is coming up on the Sunday, this Sunday. And then I saw this here, which I thought was interesting. The 16th is Las Posadas, P-O-S-A-D-A-S, Posadas Day. This is held through December the 24th, and it's a Latino religious festival in which participants gather to mark Mary and Joseph's search for an inn on the night of Jesus' birth. They gather to mark the looking for an inn. Starts on the 16th, lasts for a week. Wow. And then the 18th, Hanukkah begins for all my Jewish friends out there. So that's what's coming up on the next week on that stuff. And let me put that away. And Wine Spectator came out. You got your newest issue, Mike?
I don't. When did that come out?
I got mine, two, 3 days ago.
No, I haven't. Yeah, definitely not. Haven't seen it yet.
It says on the cover, it has a glass of wine. It says Wine of the Year.
No. No, I haven't gotten any. Not in the past few days, I guess. It's not yet.
Oh, well. The new issue is out, and I just want to hit on a couple of things that they always do here, and I didn't mark it. Sorry. I should have put bookmarks in it like I usually do, and I didn't do it. Top 100 wines they have in this issue. It's obviously Wine Spectator's choice, but these people are pretty knowledgeable. So the editors reviewed more than 8,800 wines in blind tastings during the past year. Nearly 60% of those are 5,147 in all, rated 90 points or higher. And so to find the top 100, they started with those that rated 90 points or higher. Average score was 93 points, and the average price was $63. There were 17 wines costing $100 or more. So more than half the wines are priced less than 50, with 29 coming in at $25 or less. So they didn't, you know, weren't major snobs. But when it comes to Napa Valley, Cabernet Sauvignon is king, but entering the Cabernet Sauvignon kingdom comes at a price. They said typically most lofty. Most top bottlings cost $200, $300, $500 or more. That's ridiculous. I'm sorry, but that is just ridiculous. I'll get on a soapbox and start decrying the dumbness of that. $500 for one bottle of Cabernet. You know, most are single vineyard wines and select cuvées that total just a few hundred cases each, making them as difficult to find as they are to afford. But their wine of the year is Schrader Cellars Cabernet Sauvignon Oakville Double Diamond Vineyard 2019 Vintage. 10,000 cases were made, 94 point rated by, well, obviously Wine Spectator, and it's only $80, which is reasonable, okay? I'm not going to complain about an $80 bottle of wine if it's as good to be picked as the wine of the year. That's not bad, but still, you know, they get a little bit ridiculous. It comes Schrader Cellars, one of those wineries whose top bottling checks in at $475. Come on. Give me the justification to charge $475 besides the fact if you only make, you know, 1,000 cases and it's really good and it's just a scarcity of it and all that. But, you know, $475 for a bottle of wine, that to me, yeah. All right, I won't go squawking anymore because you know how I feel. And, you know, I justify a lot of costs on wines, but I just can't seem to justify that much money for a bottle of wine, no matter how good it is. And especially, you know, just over-the-counter type wines. These aren't ones that have been aged for a long time. These aren't ones from the Great Bordeaux vineyards and stuff like that. These are Pavali wines, and it's just, well, again, I will get over my soapbox on this and just, you know, pass by. They also have a big article in here on Bubbly's, domestic sparkling wines. They raised the bar on what's being done in California on domestic sparkling wines. And they got some articles here talking about it. And they also are talking about the Big Smoke Whiskey Fest. This is being held at the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood, Florida, right here in the home state. The Big Smoke meets West Whiskey Fest. It's incredible cigars and whiskeys. So enjoy a wide variety of whiskeys. Collect 20-plus premium cigars. Learn more about these exceptional cigars and whiskeys from the cigar makers, whiskey distillers, and other experts who will be in attendance. So there you are. If anybody's in Florida or wants to make a trip to Florida to visit this, I highly recommend it. And I highly recommend it because if these people are there, they're probably rolling cigars, and which is really interesting to watch, which is, it takes years of experience. I saw them roll some cigars at the Festival Sunday, and I've seen them before. We've had, Arturo Fuentes out at the winery rolling cigars for us a number of years ago. And it was fun to sit there and just watch him roll these things up and all that. But a festival like this, whiskey and cigars, is sounds like a wonderful thing. Don't be dipping the end of your cigar, your smoking end of the cigar, into the whiskey. That is not cool. But the Whiskey and Cigar Festival in Hollywood, Florida, on March the 4th, on Army Day, March 4th. And let's see what else there's. But interesting issue of Wine Spectator. You should be getting it soon, Mike, if you haven't already.
Could be in the mailbox. I just haven't checked it today, but yeah, haven't seen it yet, though.
Yeah, but Wine of the Year, though, is Cabernet Sauvignon, $80. It's good for Wine Spectator to do that, I think, instead of picking one that's obscenely priced, and some of them are obscenely priced. Okay, let me pop over here and pick up a few things I'm going to tell you real quickly here. All right. I was just looking at these. Let me just give you some highlights here. And California is putting a lot of money into wildfire mitigation and reforestation. And there is also a big movement to try to stop it. If they want my advice, which I guarantee you they do not, but if they want my advice, they need to go back to the controlled burns that they used to do many years ago, all over California, not just in the winery areas. Many years ago, they used to do controlled burns. They would go in and burn the underbrush and keep the underbrush burned down and all that, which is good. Fires are good for an area, but they would burn their underbrush, and it really, we never heard of the wildfires like we do now. But California's budget and California not having the money could not afford the controlled burns. So they cut back on areas that they could cut back on, and that was one of the areas they cut back on, the forestry division and the controlled burns. They are now, and they have been for the last 5 or 6 years, paying a severe price for their lack of controlled burns. So if you want my advice, go back to your controlled burns and get that stuff, get that undergrowth controlled and all that. That'll help a lot. But they're looking at having a goal of $2 million to help wildlife and reforestation in areas there. Younger generation, what do they want from wine? Well, they tend to be sweet. That's what this article says here. It's they have done surveys and all that, and they constantly are doing surveys, trying to find out what people want and how it breaks down and all that. The baby boomers, 55 and plus, and Gen X, which is 40 to 54, They say that these two groups account for 73% of wine drinking population and 66% of total spending off premise, not in bars. And it says they have routine purchase patterns at entry and mid price points. And they said the Gen X, the ones 40 to 54, are more willing than the boomers to trade up and buy a little bit more expensive stuff. And then you've got the Gen Z and millennials. Gen Z is 18 to 24, and the millennials are 35 to 39. And they said that they account for like 26% of the regular drinking, but around half, 50% of the total spent in bars, pubs, and restaurants. So they will spend more while they're out. Wine drinking population, boomers 55 plus, Gen X 40 to 54, millennials 25 to 39, Gen Z 18 to 24. They missed a group. Well, no, they didn't. Everybody's there. But boomers and Gen X still the ones bringing in the money for wineries and wines and stuff. And the millennials and Gen Z is tending to go sweeter style of wines, rosé, sparkling wines, and stuff like that. That seems to be the area. That might change, and actually more than likely it will change. I don't see someone staying with that always. They'll probably start going into the, you know, different wines and drier wines and trying different things. But, you know, the gateway wines are usually, people start drinking wine, the gateway wines are usually the cheaper ones, or the sweeter ones. So that's what happens. Let's see what else. Okay, this page, I think, is done. Let's go back to this one here. Let's see, Garden State, where was that? Well, no, listen, this isn't the one I want here. Well, what does this say? Freak frost hits Argentinian vineyards and Mendoza area declares an emergency. They call it a black frost, and it says a damage to a lot of the Mendoza wine region because it was so heavy and the plants were out. And Argentina is south of the equator, so I think their season is opposite ours. So we're going into winter in the dormant stage. They're coming out, and they probably had bud break, and a heavy frost has to be really bad for them. So that Argentinian wine just might be more expensive this next year because of that. We'll see. And let's see here, Garden State on this one. Well, where's that? It's kind of just the one I want. Nope, this isn't the one I want either. Jeez, why is my numbers off here? California is set to increase the global market share of wines. Direct to consumer shippers from Iowa, they are dropping the bond that you have to carry to ship directly to consumers. So therefore, it's going to open up Iowa wineries to ship to people a lot easier instead of having to have the bond that was required in the state. And so that's a good news for Iowa and for Iowa winery fans. They'll be able to ship to you cheaper. And so that's good. Price of imported wine in Japan has hit a new high because the yen is so weak. Not just against the dollar, but against everything. The yen has fallen quite a bit lately, and because it is so weak, they have not been able to the prices down on everything. So, all right, this is Garden State. Okay, here we go. Garden State, which is New Jersey. I'm sure you know that. Garden State Wine Growers Association announces a New Jersey Wine Week, which is November the 14th to the 21st. Guess what? That's next week. They have special events going on throughout the state. The governor and first lady is going to honor New Jersey's wineries at the Governor's Cup celebration. Tennessee Avenue Toast in Atlantic City. Cheers to New Jersey wine toast across the state with visitors. And the full list of winery events will be displayed at, I guess I should put that on our Facebook page. I will do that after the show. It's newjerseywines.com/events/category/ng-wine-week/. So I'll copy and paste that on our Facebook page. To learn more, you can sign up for the GSWGA In the Vines newsletter. I don't know what GSWGA stands for. What is? I didn't see that anywhere here. Oh, here we go. Garden State Wine Growers Association. And it's on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. So, New Jersey, celebrating a wine week here. And they have a passport program. To advance agritourism and consumption in New Jersey, the Golden State Wine Growers Association developed a mobile app and passport program, making it easy to discover New Jersey wine country and experience all of New Jersey's wine trails. The Garden State is home to four thriving American viticulture areas, our AVAs, the Cape May Peninsula AVA, the Outer Coastal Plain AVA, the Warren Hills AVA, and the Central Delaware Valley AVA, which is shared by portions of eastern Pennsylvania. And vineyards and wineries may be found in each AVA with trails and festivals and events throughout the state this week to celebrate the Garden State Wine Week. So good for them. I usually catch that stuff too late, but I caught that one just in the perfect time. Sustainability. Okay, I think that's it on this page. Let's go to the next page. And, oh yeah, this is something you might be interested in. I know you like this show, and we have been rated very highly over the years, but there's a new show out by Wine Spectator called Straight Talk, S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T, Straight Talk. And it's hosted by James Molesworth. And it says he shares never-before-heard conversation with Wine Spectator editor and publisher Marvin Shanken and others. It's just one of the things that he does. But it's there goes my wine. She's taking it. She does that to me. Straight Talk has podcasts on every week. The Straight Talk podcast, the episode 2 is out now, and I'm sure episode 3 episode 3 has hit. So these are just things from Wine Spectator magazine, and it's free. There's no cost. You can go to winespectator.com/podcast and listen to the episodes there. I listened to one of them. Interesting. They do a good job. Not as fun and interesting as Mike and I are, but still, it's interesting. So check that out. Straight Talk Just again, winespectator.com/cast. And let's see, December 15th is going to be focusing on champagne. So that's the next episode coming out. It's going to be champagne. So fantastic. It's good. It's a good listen there. So check that out. And let's see, the next one. I know it's 8 o'clock, but I want to get these out of the way because there's just little notes here and there. Okay, Holiday Wine Trail Weekend is coming up also in New Jersey. They got a lot of stuff going on for the wines in New Jersey. Argentina, inflation finally has come to a halt. Wow, inflation is running rampant down there. It's outrageous, but it's finally under control, which means that Argentinian wines will probably be cheaper for us, which is a good thing. So just let you know, if you're into Argentinian wines, which they do a great Pinot Noir. If you've never had an Argentinian Pinot Noir, you are missing out because they do great Pinot Noirs. I don't think I've really had a bad Pinot Noir from New Jersey, from Argentina. So check that out. And then again, another thing here, about New Jersey. So, and let's see, let's go into the next one here. And this is, wrong one. Colorado wine in grocery stores on the brink of becoming a law. California has not been able to have wine in the grocery stores, but Proposition 125, also known as Wine in Grocery Stores, appears headed to victory. So, in fact, the ballots should have all been counted, and that probably should have passed. So, some of these things, catching here. Let's see what Napa stopped. What? No. Well, maybe that was down here a little bit more. Oh well, I lost that one. I can't find it. Okay, let's look at this next one here. And autonomous robots are helping modernize grape and the vineyards and picking and everything. You may see robots running around vineyards if you go visit some of these wineries, Napa, Sonoma, and stuff like that. They're trying it more and more, and it's starting to work because it's saving them major labor costs. They won't replace the workers, but at least it's something to help them harvest and pick and all that. So they're giving it a try and seeing what they can come up with by using robots in the vineyards. Okay. Okay, this is done. And let's go to this one. And flooding in Southeast Australia could hit the wine production down there. They've been having a lot of flood damage and all that. And it could affect the yield of the vineyards, which in turn could cause higher prices for Australian wines from that region. That's why I pass this on to you. If you're a fan of certain areas and stuff like that, then, you know, it gives you a chance to look forward to the cost and all that on there. Okay. New Jersey. You know, I think I might have clicked off that link that I was going to put on here. And, well, I don't want that. I might have clicked off that link of the New Jersey wine. I think I did. I can't find it. Oh, well, sorry. Let's see, younger generation. Is, where is that on this? No, that's flooding is done. And let's do one more here. And I think be finished. When Tuesday is turn time. The younger generation, I told you about them and how that is affecting it. And so, okay, well, I covered what I wanted to cover here, so very good. I'll see if I can't pull up that link again, but no, that's not it. So I'll see if I can't pull up that link again for you. If I can, I'll post it. If I can't, you won't see it. Let's, before we go, let me, this wine has been sitting here for the last 20 minutes. Yeah, the aroma is coming out a little bit better. Not a whole lot, but it is coming out a little bit better. Color, I poured more wine in the glass than I should, but then it darkened up the color when I'm looking at it, though. Still a nice garnet color. Oh, very good. A little bit more of the acid is coming out in the taste, but it's a nice balance. Tannins tend to have, well, they're coming in late. So I told you the aftertaste was not there earlier. It's in there now. This thing just needs to open up a little bit. It was, wines need to do that. They need to open up and breathe a little bit to give them the character. You just pop open a bottle of wine and pour yourself a glass and start drinking it. You may find all sorts of things about it that you're not real thrilled. Let it set and aerate, or pour it from one glass to another, or decant. But I'm not a big fan of decanting. I'm more of a fan of just swirling it, and you can pour from one glass to another. That's going to aerate it. That's going to open it up, and that's going to bring out more of the flavors and taste and stuff like that. So this has opened up. This is nice. It's got some good flavors. I'm getting a little bit more of that acid on there than I want, though. I think it's because the tannins have dissipated a little bit and is bringing out the acid. But a very good Cabernet. It's got some nice flavors and nice cab aroma and a classic cab taste underneath it all. Don't get me wrong. I like the cab taste, but that little bit of dark berries, blueberries, blackberries comes out in the taste also, not just in the aroma. Yeah, very nice. So, she took it, so my engineer came in and took the bottle, so I repeat it to you, but I don't have it. So, nice wine, though. And we're done for this week. We have a guest for next week, I hope. I say that because I can't find the link, but I will. And get him on. Doug is our guest for next week. And, oh, no, is it Doug next week?
Yeah, Doug is next week.
Doug is next. Yeah. Danielle's the week after. So I will find Doug and the information for him. And as always, Michael, get it posted up. And so you can take a look at it. So tune in next week for our guest. And we're done for this week.
Yeah. Next week, December 15th. Thank you all for tuning in. And for the chat and everything, I really appreciate it. And have a great week and a safe weekend. And we'll see you next Thursday. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for tuning in. Be safe.
Start running. And does that work? Yes.
There we go. I was on the wrong page.
This concludes tonight's broadcast.
You what?
I was on the wrong page.
I
missed it. No.
Okay.
Not important. Yeah.
Okay.
Start it over.
All right. Restart. Well,
restart.
We'll just pick up here. Here we go.
All About Wine with your host, Ron. For show information, links to All About Wine on Twitter and Facebook, or to be a guest on this show, visit the show website at www.allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available for download on iTunes or on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening.
That's right.
Drink responsibly,
yep.
And we'll see you next time on All About Wine.
All About Wine.
Ta-da. That's the end. That's the end. And the green room.
And the green room.